Take your Bibles. Please turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. Daniel, chapter 1. We'll read verses 1 through 4 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Daniel, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasurer's house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability to then stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this place. Lord, what a great day. Lord, what a blessing it is to come to a place to where you are pleased and where your presence is. And yet we stand before you still in need. Lord, if we had 1,000 churches like this church all over our country, it still wouldn't be enough. Lord, please, may we step up and be in this area what this area needs for you. Don't take your presence from us. Fill our preacher with your power tonight. May we listen with your power so that we could go out from here more like you and less like us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
My sermon tonight, or we might call it a lesson, is going to be embarrassingly simple. But I think if you'll listen, it will help you, and that is my intent. I'm going to read some verses to you, and then as the night progresses, we'll get more and more practical. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. It says in Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 9, teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Proverbs 16:21 says, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. I've very simply entitled the sermon tonight, How to Learn. How to Learn. In Daniel chapter 1, verse number 4, the Bible says, in whom they might teach the learning. Teach the learning. Someone was to teach learning. In Daniel chapter 1, verse number 17, the Bible says, and for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning. They had skill in learning. Here's what had happened here, and we read earlier from Daniel chapter 1. The king of Babylon, named Nebuchadnezzar, took Jerusalem captive. They then carried the Hebrew people away into captivity. The Babylonian people were amazed with God's people for many reasons. They were amazed at the wisdom of God's people. They were amazed at the clean look. They virtually looked at the complexion of God's people, and they could see there was something wholesome, pure, and clean about them. The Babylonian people were amazed at the understanding of science in regard to these Hebrew people. They were amazed at their cunning ways. And that a little bit has to do with their common sense. You heard the saying, common sense is just not so common anymore. But these people that had been carried away into captivity, the Babylonian people were just amazed with their wisdom and their clean look and their understanding of science and their cunning ways. Now, there was something else they were amazed about. In Daniel 1:4 it says that these people that had been taken captive, they could teach people to learn. There was something about their ability to help people to understand or to learn. In verse 17 it says that they were skilled in their ability in regard to learning. Not just being able to teach, but actually helping people to learn. You know, I fear that people today do not know how to learn. We teach in school, but people do not learn. Listen to this. Same class, same teacher, same material, at the same time, one passes and one fails. Why? Somebody didn't learn right. I preach and teach here from the pulpit. It's amazing to me. I'll stand in this pulpit, I'll preach the same truth to 1,000 people, comes from the same book, they hear it the same day, in the same service, they hear the same truth. Some will walk out of here and go and succeed. Others will walk out of here and fall flat on their face and not do a thing that I taught. One learned, one did not learn. We're commanded by God to learn. I think you're here tonight because you want to learn. Psalm 119:7 says that we are to learn righteousness. Proverbs 30, verse 3 tells us that we are to learn wisdom. John chapter 6, verse 45 says we're to learn of the Father. Deuteronomy 5:1 says we're to learn God's Word. Deuteronomy 4:10 says we're to learn the fear of God. Titus chapter 3, verse 14 says we're to learn good works. Isaiah 29:24 tells us that we're to learn doctrine. But not only are we to learn those things, there's just a lot to be learned. We need to learn English, and we need to learn math. We need to learn those subjects. Oh, teachers, listen. I think teachers fail because they teach material, but they do not teach their students how to learn material. If a teacher has forgotten how students learn, their teaching is not as effective. You know, there's just some people that want to get their material out. Well, you're not just trying to transfer material. You want people to learn. That's what it's all about. I don't want to just teach my material. I want the students to learn the material. Some people can learn things, but they can't teach those things because they have not analyzed learning well. To be a good teacher, you've got to know something about learning. You say, well, I'm brilliant. Hey, all the brilliance in the world that cannot be transferred to the student, what good is it? You're just impressed with your own knowledge. Hey, it's a transfer of knowledge. We want people to learn. Sometimes it's taking that which is difficult and making it simple enough that the student may absorb it. Well, they just need to learn. Well, teach them to learn. Make it so they can learn. Hey, embarrassing, a bit simple, but I want to talk to you about how to learn. Parents, I want you to listen to me now. Every one of you parents, moms, dads, you're the primary teachers in your children's lives. Students, listen to me. Some of you students, well, I love the kids in our school. I love our teenagers and our children, even you ornery ones. I love you. I want you to learn. Some of you are not doing so well. Some of you are not learning in school. Look, you're going to have to go to school anyway. Why waste the time? Learn what you're there to learn. One day you're going to look back and wish that you did. Teenagers, listen to me tonight. Some of you that struggle in your learning, listen to me tonight. Children, listen. Teachers, it'd be very good for you to learn how to help people how to learn. I'm not talking about learn how to teach, though I believe that learning how people learn is an essential to being a good teacher. Listen, if you will, it'll be very practical from this point on. I'll make many statements, but I want you to listen to them. Number one, you want to know how to learn? Pay attention at the start. Pay attention at the beginning. Understand, people make introductions to their material to get your attention, to get you moving mentally in the right direction. Look, if you sit here in church and I've got to work 10 minutes to get your attention, you miss 10 minutes. You missed the 10 minutes that was the foundation of the truth that I was going to preach. So make sure you listen at the beginning. Students, listen at the beginning of the class that's being taught. Look, if you don't learn in the beginning, then you're going to have a hard time understanding what's taught later on. And this is not just at a particular setting. It's just important, period. Look, I'm going to tell you why some of you students are struggling. Because in grade school, somebody tried to teach you the parts of speech. And you didn't learn in the beginning. And you're still struggling. And you can't diagram a sentence because you have no idea the parts of speech and their function. You've got to start in the beginning and give your attention in the beginning. Listen at the beginning of anything that's being taught. Number two, listen. 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 That's how you learn. You listen with your ears, but truly, these ears are an outer tool to your perception or to your mind. These ears, they're not really what I mean when I say listen. What I really mean is listen with your brain. Listen with what's inside you. Listen with your will. Now, if you want to learn, you're going to have to listen. How many times you've heard your dad say, "You don't listen to anything I say." You know, if you would listen, not just with your ears, but with your perception, if you would listen with your mind, you could learn. So, I want to teach you how to learn. First point, pay attention at the beginning of anything. Secondly, listen, not just with your ears, but with your mind. Number three, look or see. Set up where you can see. If you're sitting in church and, oh my goodness, if you're a kid in church, sure enough, every time you come to church, this woman with this great big gargantuan hairdo sits right in front of you. And if you're a kid, you're a miserable. Because you don't want to kind of grab it and part it down the middle and pull it apart like the parting of the Red Sea so you can see what's going on. And parents, let me tell you something. Work at it. Try to make it so your kids can see. It helps if you can see while you're learning. You're not going to learn anything by sitting with your head down on your desk. You're not going to learn anything by looking down every moment that I teach. You know, when you look down, one thing you're doing, you're disrespecting the teacher. Did you hear that? When you look down while the teacher or the preacher is preaching, you are disrespecting the teacher, and you're not going to learn as well. You need that visual contact. You need to see a bit of the body language and the emphasis of what's going on. Hey, if you have to, move up closer. You say, "But Owens, I don't think my kids are learning like I want them to learn." Move them up closer. Get out of the spot where the blessing comes out. Make it so you can see. And hey, young people and children, when mom grabs your chin and aims it up toward the pulpit and says, "Look up there, your mom's doing you a favor," it'll help you to learn. You've got to see. Look at the preacher. Look at the teacher. And when you won't, you're just disrespectful. So, how in the world are we going to learn? Pay attention at the start. Listen with your mind. See with your eyes. Number four, don't talk. Let the teacher talk. Where's Brother Greenlee? Brother Greenlee and I, yesterday morning, we were at the bus banquet, and I was over there watching him eat. Man, can he put it away. I guess I was listening to him eat. But we were there, and we were talking about learning for a moment. And in it, Brother Greenlee, we talked about learning and listening. He said, "Brother Owens," he said, "that's why God gave me two ears and only one mouth. Because you learn more by listening than talking," and that's true. You've got to listen. You've got to listen. Parents, let me tell you something. You say, "My student is failing." In many cases, the students that are failing to learn are talking instead of listening. Check their demerits and see if they're getting a bunch of demerits for being disrespectful and talking in class. You can't learn while you're talking. You're going to learn while you're listening. You pay attention at the start of something. You listen with your mind. You see with your eyes. You don't talk, but you listen. Listen, I can promise you, it breaks my heart. And I would not point out a person like this, but I'll be up here preaching a truth that I know somebody in this auditorium needs, and they're there, they're elbowing, they're talking with their husband, talking with their wife, talking with some teenager, and I'm thinking, no wonder you're a mess. No wonder there's rebellion in your life. No wonder you're goofed up. No wonder you're with the wrong crowd. You're not learning, and you're not learning because you're talking when someone's teaching you how to succeed. And so, pay attention at the start. Listen with your mind. See what's going on. Don't talk. Number five, and I believe this will work in school, in Sunday school, or in church. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Hey, we've got something good going for us, folks. When we got saved, God sealed the Holy Spirit of God inside us. He's our interpreter. The Holy Spirit of God can explain to us on the inside what our ears are picking up from the outside. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. You'll get far more out of a church service if you walk in surrendering your ears to the Holy Spirit. And we're talking about your ears. We're talking about your perception now. You're saying, God, I'm surrendering my ears or my mind. I want to learn. I want to get what you have for me tonight. Number six, learn humbly. Humbly. A bit, we need to approach a church service. In a way, we need to approach a class, whether it's Sunday school or in our school during the day, Monday through Friday. We need to, hey, listen, you need to come empty so we can fill you up. Come empty so we can fill you up. You won't find real good learners that are arrogant. If you already know it all, you don't need anything. Nothing like trying to teach somebody that knows it all. Those are the ones who won't look at you when you preach. They think they know it all. Either that or they just don't care. Look, I believe every man's my teacher. Did you know something? I can even learn something from some drunk in the ditch. I can learn how not to get to the ditch. Pride hinders learning. You know, there are some that come into church to learn. There are others that come to investigate me. You want to see if I'm going to do something wrong. You're just always on edge. And your pride will hinder you from learning. Because you didn't come to learn, you came to investigate, you came to critique. You already know it all, and you're just here to monitor the church. You're just here to make things, hey, and there are some students that go to classes that way. They go to class to see if the teacher's going to do their part, see if the teacher's adequate. You won't learn that way. You're not going to learn by being arrogant. Learners need to humble their minds to absorb what needs to be taught. Let me go on. Number seven, set with learners. Set with learners. Get around people that want to learn. Associate with learners. Hey, set with truth acceptors, not truth rejectors. That'll help you to learn. You know, if you're sitting there with somebody that's shaking their head up and down and saying amen and paying attention, and when you go to talk to them, they say, no, shh. You might be sitting with the right person. I don't know if they're sitting with you, and that's right. But they want to learn. Sit around learners. Hey, listen, even right here in the church. You see, brother, the ones I always sit here, but there's somebody that sits right in front of me. They play all the time. Move. Move. Move away from him. You say, but I've been sitting here for years. I'd rather give up my sacred spot of history and learn than to be frustrated because somebody's sitting in front of me or behind me or they're playing. Just move. 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 Brother Ensign, if you need to move and get away from Brother Nash, go over there to my chair. Set with learners. Get around people that want to learn. It will help you learn. There's nothing like sitting by someone that's like a dry sponge wanting to soak up the water of the Word of God. And there's nothing like being around people. And I'm talking about, and I realize we don't get to choose in school exactly who we sit by. But when it is our choice, you ought to want to sit by somebody that wants to learn. It'll make a difference. Let me go on. Agree with the teaching. Agree in your mind. I mean, if somebody taught you that 2 plus 2 is 4, you ought to say, yeah, it is. I like that. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. You ought to agree. When appropriate, there's nothing wrong with using your voice in agreement. It kind of puts an exclamation point or an exclamation mark at the truth. You're saying, I agree with that. Some of you men, it wouldn't hurt you say amen in church every once in a while. You sit there and you look like you're miserable. Every moment that you're here, I'm going to wonder, do you even believe what's being taught here? Smile. You say, I don't like you. Well, let me see your grimy teeth anyway, buddy. Smile. Act like you're happy about what's being taught. When you're sitting in class somewhere, act like you enjoy it. Act like you like it. Act like you got to act like something's going on here. Your brain needs to kick on. We need to know that somebody's alive in there. And I'm talking to you about how to learn. I'm talking to you how to learn. Hey, shake your head up and down in agreement every once in a while. Show agreement on your face. Now, ladies, we're not going to have you shouting and running the aisles. You men, though, you could speak up. But you ladies, you could, maybe every once in a while you could smile. We'll even let you grunt if you can grunt positively. agreement with what's being taught will help it to become a part of you. Let me go on. Number 9. Believe you need what's being taught. Don't decide that's unnecessary for you. Decide that's some of us will come to church and say, oh, this is for somebody else. I think everything that goes on in church is for us. And you know something? If you're sitting in a class where something's being taught, I'm going to guess there's something there for you to learn. You mean to tell me you already know it all? Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You listen to me. I taught at the collegiate level for many, many years. I was amazed. I taught a class called Biblical Character Traits. It's where I taught people the subject of personal character, integrity, be on time, work hard, tell the truth. I taught on that subject. I've written 2 or 3 different books about the subject. They're used in Bible colleges all over the nation. I taught a class one semester. A young man took the class, went through it, got an A. He was done. It was an elective course toward his degree. Next semester, I looked up. There he sat in my class. I went back to my office. I pulled out the last semester's grade book. I looked in there. His name was in there. He got an A. Next day I went into class. I said, I think you've come to the wrong class. He said, no, Brother Owens. He said, I want to be in here this semester. He said, I feel like there was so much to learn. I got an A on the test, but I didn't learn all the material. He took it again. He took it 4 times. It's no wonder to me that that young man is building a powerful church today. It wasn't just about getting an A. It was about absorbing the material and wanting to learn. And you listen to me. We've got to decide we want what's being taught. Decide you need it. Want it and need it and want to need it. Yeah. Let's go on. Number 10. Plan to pass it on. You want to learn? Plan to pass on what you're learning. Pay attention in such a way that you could explain to someone else what you just learned. Don't let your perception be enough. Make it so you take in enough that you could teach it to somebody else. Learn well so you can pass it on. Parents, because young people and children don't pay good attention, you need to pay good attention because you often need to reteach the truth that you have learned. They've got to learn it. Plan to pass it on. Let me go on. Number 11, then pass it on. You want to learn? Learn well enough that you could pass it on to someone else and then go take what you learn and give it to somebody else. I, in college, I was on the dean's list many semesters. I had the privilege, and I'm just going to tell you how I accomplished. I'm just an average thinker. I'm an average student. But I remember when I would go to school, I took notes, I studied, and I prepared. I did everything I could to do well, but I'm going to tell you one thing that I did. I would sit in a class, and when they would teach me in the class, I would go to work at night. I worked at a machine shop. There's a guy that worked over here beside me. We would go into work at night, and he one day asked me, he said, Jeff, tell me something you learned at college today. And I did. I taught him something I learned at college. It got to the point that every night when I would go into work, I would teach him what I learned in school. I'm going to tell you something. When I began to teach what I had learned, it began to become a part of me. You'll learn more by teaching. You'll learn more by teaching than being taught. You really will. Can I tell you who's growing the most in our church right now? Our Sunday school teachers. You say, well, what about their students? Oh, they're growing. The Sunday school teachers and assistant teachers are growing faster than anyone. I'll tell you why. Because they're studying to teach. Oh, my. Pass it on. Hey, find somebody and tell them what you learned. Tell them. I got a very nice note under my door today. Someone that had family members that really needed this morning's sermon about God being our help. And I love what that person said. That person said, oh, did my family need what you gave today, but I'm going to take it and I'll give it to them. Boy, the person that's going to go give the truth that I taught today is more apt to learn the truth. Pass it on. So learn as if you're going to need to teach it someday, then turn around and see if you can find somebody and teach it. Let me go on. Number 12, concentrate on purpose. Concentrate on purpose. Right now, you say I'm tired, then you have to concentrate on purpose. You say, I wasn't feeling well at school the other day. That means you have to concentrate on purpose. And we are so spoiled with the television and the video games and all the fast-moving things in society. It's very hard for us to sit and concentrate on one thing for 30 or 40 or 45 minutes. Our minds are just running everywhere because we've spoiled our minds on all the entertainments of the world, the amusements of the world. We don't need amusement, we need musement, and musement is concentration. You concentrate on purpose. Look, block out interruptions. Block out interruptions. I can't tell you how hard it is to stand in here and preach sometimes. I ain't got one person over here. They've got their index finger about, 4 inches up their nose. I'm thinking, get that out of there. You're going to cave in your head, woman. I got one over here sleeping. I got one that won't look at me all the time I'm preaching. Won't look at me at all. I got people that'll make faces at me. I'll say, please don't get up and walk out. About 20 people go out. And 5 minutes later, cell phones that go off, people nodding, bashing their head on the pew in front of them. Parents very gently getting their children in headlocks and doing body slams in the aisles while I'm preaching. You know, I've got to lock in. You have got to learn to concentrate on purpose. Look, don't you let anything interrupt you in the church service. Don't you let anything interrupt you in class. You lock in on what's being taught. We're a little pansy with our minds today. If it's not easy, we're not willing to do it. Lock in. You decide if somebody misbehaving in the pew in front of you is not going to stop you from getting what God has for you. Some of you students that are serious, you got some screwball sitting in class doing everything they can to interrupt the teacher, you ignore them. Matter of fact, if you start ignoring them, they might stop it. Because they like the fact that you laugh at them. They like the fact that they're entertaining to you as they're acting as a juvenile, a person that's just being rebellious. But look, if interruptions are going on, control your mind. Don't laugh at the interruptions. Stay locked in on the truth. And don't participate. And you'll learn. You see, our goal is to learn. We need to learn. We all need to learn. How are we going to do it? You pay attention at the start. You listen. You see. You don't talk. You ask the Holy Spirit to help you. You learn humbly. You sit with learners. You show agreement. You believe what's being taught is important to you. You plan to pass it on. Then do some passing on. You concentrate on purpose. Let me give you two or three more and I'll be done. Review or repeat the material often in your mind. Review. Repeat the material in your mind. Repetition is one of the most important keys to learning. You just repeat it. Some of you, let me tell you, one of the most important things, if you'd like to learn to be a soul winner, what you need to do is keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. It won't be long until you have the plan of salvation memorized and it'll come very easy to you. That's because you repeat it. There's an old saying, if you don't use it, you lose it. If you don't use it, you lose it. Repeat it, review it often in your mind. Let me go on. Work at it. Learners must work at it. Now, I'm about to tell you why a lot of people, most people don't learn. Lazy people don't learn well. Now, parents, you're going to have to accept something. There are just sometimes it's not the teacher's fault. The teacher sent homework home that didn't get done. A student that has a lazy mind that won't force their mind, we're not going to get anywhere. I think teachers ought to be teaching at peak performance. I think the minds of our children are very important. I don't think our young people deserve leftovers. But I'll tell you, a student that is lazy won't learn. And you parents, you get mad at a teacher when you know you can't get your kid to do any work at home, want to sit around and watch TV all day long, and then you can't get them to do anything with their room, and they won't do their chores, and you can't get any work out of them. You might want to calculate that into what we deal with all day long, 5 days a week, trying to get them to study. Think about it for a second, parents. Hey, but that's even true in church. You know that there are people that come to our services, they're Sunday morning glories. The only time they come to church is Sunday morning. You know, they walk in and walk out every week. They're basically the same. They've not changed their life. They'll go out and live the same way they lived all week long. I'll come in here, we'll preach a sermon, it'll change somebody's life. But that person, they'll walk in, walk out, they've not changed. They just showed up at church. It was a social thing for them. I'll tell you why. They didn't learn because it takes some work to learn. They didn't want to work. Can I tell you something? Logic is work.
Yes, sir.
Logic is work. Taking that which is difficult, breaking it down so that the average person could actually absorb it, that's work. It's work. Some of you will not exercise your minds. It'd be good for some people in here. You know, I wonder, could you do this? Could you shut your television off for a month? Could you? Or would you go through withdrawals? Detox. David said, while the fire burned, I mused. Musing is concentrating. Amusing is being entertained. We in America are so much into mind amusement, it's pathetic. Work at it. Lazy people don't learn well because it's work. Listen. Let me give you another one. Don't always take shortcuts in your learning. Sometimes we need to learn to do it the hard way, then learn how to do it the easy way. I'm going to say something, and some of you are going to think I'm crazy. When I was in high school, you could not use a calculator in your math classes. You say, are you against calculators? No. But I'm for learning. I'm glad I learned how to do it all on paper with my own personal calculator. Now, the use of a calculator, I'm not dependent. There are some people, if they don't have a calculator, they can't figure anything out. Technology is doing for us what our minds used to do. And I know you think I'm an oddball. But listen to me. You take research. Let me tell you something that scares me. I'm not against using the internet for research. But if the electricity won't come on, there's some of you couldn't do a research paper because you don't know how to research. You don't know how to get in a book and dig. Now, some of you gray hairs, you understand exactly what I'm saying. When I was in high school, we didn't have the internet. We had to get out the books, and we had to get out encyclopedias, and we had to dig and research and look and search. I'm glad I know how to do that. I'm glad I know how to do that. Because you know something? The internet can't come up with my sermons for me. I have to dig. I get in the books of the Bible, and I research, and I study. You see, there's nothing wrong with using the internet to do research, but I'm telling you, some of you take shortcuts for everything, and you're not learning. It doesn't hurt to do some things the hard way, and then later on, after you maybe in a little way, you've earned the right to use the easy way. I'm appalled at the thought that they want to do away with the phonics system. What they want to do is they want students to memorize words. You look at the word dog and you say dog, but you don't learn how to sound out the D-O-G. So that means the only number of words that you're going to be able to pronounce are the number that you can memorize. But with phonetics, with phonics, you can sound out any word. We don't need to take the shortcuts. We need to learn the sounds and the letters and the letter combinations. When I was a younger man, I'm still younger, amen? Thank you. When I was a younger man, I worked in machine shops. I ran lathes. I ran mills. I'll tell you something, Brother Randy. I'm very glad that I worked in the machine shops in the era where they were manual. I had to learn to run the mill. I had to learn to run the lathe. Later on, they started using data numerical control. And they started using the computers. Now, here's what happened. I was a machinist. The men that could not do what I did, all they were button pushers. I was a machinist. They were merely a machine operator, or in my mind, I called them babysitters. I'm glad I learned that. I'm glad I knew how to manually run the machine. Why? I wanted to learn. When there was problem solving that needed to be done with that machine, the men that knew how to push buttons did not know how to solve any of the problems. They could not set the machine up. They did not know how to troubleshoot the problems. I could. I was a machinist. That's why I was a leader. We take so many shortcuts. Be careful now. Be careful. You need to learn. There's so much I want to say. Let me say one more thing, and I'm done. If you want to be a learner, you've got to want to learn. It's maybe most important. You've got to want to learn. And sometimes you've got to want it bad. Want it bad enough to pay whatever the price is to learn it. Learn. 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 You've got to want to learn. Again, anybody here that's a teacher, if the student does not want it, it's pretty tough to teach them. Oh, now, I think, hey, teachers, let's not throw in the towel. Let's try to figure out a way to get the truth to them. Let's try to figure out a way to teach them their subjects. Well, I'll just tell you, when somebody doesn't want to learn, it's real rough teaching them anything. I noticed that when these Hebrew children, these Hebrews were taken captive in the Babylonian captivity, they were admired. They were admired because of their wisdom, their clean look, their understanding of science, their cunning ways, but they were also admired because they had an ability to learn. Their captors said, these people, they're teachable. They know how to learn. And I got to thinking about it. I did a little analyzation of how to learn. You pay attention at the start. You listen. You look. You don't talk. Ask the Spirit of God to help you. Learn humbly. Set with learners. Agree in your mind. Believe you need what's being taught. Plan to pass it on, then pass it on. Concentrate on purpose. Block out interruptions. Repeat the material in your mind often. Work at it. Don't always take the shortcuts. And if you want to learn, if you'll do those things, you'll learn. You'll learn. If you want to learn. And let me tell you, you say, Brother Owens, I'm old. I'm in my 80s. As long as you're alive, you're to be learning. Yes. Everybody here. You say, well, I've only got a grade school education. That has nothing to do with learning. Yes, sir. You can learn if you want to learn. Yes.